The semifinals in this year's NAIA Football Championship Series are here, but the Wildcats will not be there. After the most dominant regular season in team history, the Wildcat season ended Saturday afternoon to the Ravens of Benedictine College. We'll recap that and more. As always, I'm Gannon Parker, and welcome back to This Week in Wildcats Football. Indiana Wesleyan's ugly start proved to be too much to overcome as they were held scoreless until the fourth quarter. After spotting the Ravens 2 touchdowns in the first frame of action, the defense bent but didn't break until a late field goal put the game out of reach. In just his second season, Andrew Rohde and the Wildcats once again fell in the quarterfinals. As always, let's take a look at the other 3 games from this past week's action. Number 1, Kaiser out of Florida defeated number 10, Georgetown out of Kentucky, 38-22. Number 2, Grandview out of Iowa defeated number 11, Northwestern, also out of Iowa, 17-0. And number 6, Morningside out of Iowa defeated number 4, Montana Western, 31-24. So looking at the matchups for the semifinals, Benedictine will travel to Kaiser and Morningside will travel to Grandview. Of course, the winners of both of those games will travel to Durham, North Carolina for the national championship, which will be played on December 21st. So the Wildcats lose. Their season is over in the quarterfinals. Once again, they lost to the Ravens. Your final score was 20-9. Looking at the scoring summary, the Ravens got things opened up quickly with a 3-yard touchdown run from Dalton Witherspoon. Then Jackson Dooley snuck it in from 1 yard out, making the score 14-0 at the end of the first. Moving over into the second quarter, Harry Balke knocked through a 20-yard field goal about halfway through the second frame of action. And then moving over to the second half, they were scoreless in the third. And then Ryan Whitwell on the first play in the fourth quarter was able to pound one in from 1 yard out. Josh Clifton tacked on a 40-yard field goal with 6:37 left to go before the Ravens iced the game with a 44-yard field goal courtesy of Harry Balke, making your final score once again 20-9. Looking at the team statistics, the Wildcats win the first down battle 21-20. For the Wildcats, 11 came from on the ground, 10 through the air. For the Ravens, 7 on the ground, 11 through the air, and 2 aided by penalty. The Wildcats rush for a total of 132 to just the 65 for the Ravens, passing the Ravens 222 yards through the air. For the Wildcats, just 211. Looking at penalties, the Ravens actually lost the penalty battle this week. They committed 7 penalties for 56 yards. Meanwhile, the Wildcats with just 4 for 40. And as for the turnovers, Kyle Antoine threw 3 interceptions. We'll talk about that later. Also, Isaac Smith had a fumble, so the Wildcats lose the turnover battle 4-1 in favor of the Ravens, having 4 takeaways to the Wildcats, just 1. Moving over to individual stats, Jackson Dooley went 18 of 33 for 193 yards and an interception. He was sacked twice. His longest pass was 23. Jayshon Todd, actually a wide receiver on a trick play, threw 1 pass. He completed it for 29 yards down the field. Looking at rushing, Xavier Ugorji led the way on 11 attempts. He had 47 yards. His longest was 18. And then Dalton Witherspoon, 16 attempts for 45 yards and a score, as well as Jackson Dooley on 10 attempts. He gained 15 yards, but he lost 43 due to those 2 sacks. So he ended up actually losing a grand total of 28 yards. However, he was able to get a rushing touchdown from 1 yard out. His longest run was 9 yards. Moving over to receiving, Joseph Laguafuana, 7 receptions for 78 yards. Jacob Gathright, their main man. Wildcats actually did a good job on him. Just 3 catches for 64 yards. His longest was 29. And Tanner Zimmerman, the big tight end, 3 catches for 45 yards. He had a couple catches that set up crucial first downs for the Ravens, which kept the clock moving. So he did a nice job in that tight end spot. Moving over to the Wildcats, Kyle Antoine, 21 of 43 for 211 yards and 3 interceptions. His longest was from 35, and he got sacked once. Rushing, Ryan Whitwell, this season's main starter, 20 attempts. He gained 102 yards and a score. Kyle Antoine, 9 attempts for just 23 yards. His longest was 15. And Roosevelt Cage, didn't really see much of him that day. 5 attempts for just 7 total yards and no score. Receiving, Isaac Smith led the way with 9 catches for 98 yards. His longest was 35. He did, however, cough up the ball on a huge completion. Ryan Whitwell, 5 catches for 46 yards. Levi Tidwell, 3 catches for 27 yards. And Tristan Hayes, 2 catches for 25. So those individual stats on offense. Looking over at the defense for the Ravens, Isaiah Haston comes up with an interception. Cole Johnson nabs one, and Jackson Hoskins gets one as well. as Hoskins also responsible for the forced fumble of Isaac Smith, and that one was recovered by Zachary Lacombe. Moving over to the Wildcats, the one interception they had was by Clayton Mosiers at the end of the first half on a Hail Mary attempt, so I guess really just unintentional stat padding there. But moving over to tackles, as we always look at, Clayton Mosier and Luke Bays both finished with 10 total tackles. Mosier 7 assisted, 3 solo. Bays 8 assisted, 2 solo. Anthony Cheeseborough, 9 total tackles, 4 assisted, 5 solo. Devin Arevalo, 8 tackles, 6 assisted, 2 solo. And Neil Campbell with 7, 2 assist, and 5 solo. Now, I do want to mention real quickly, Anthony Cheeseborough did have a forced fumble. He was on a sack attempt, and the ball got batted backwards, although the Ravens still were able to fall on top of it. But it was a nice play coming from the backside. Jackson Dooley didn't see him coming. But with all that being said, those are your final stats from this game. And as we just kind of look at the season, and really starting with the game, it was, I think to sum it up best, it was too little too late. Once again, the Wildcats were held scoreless for the first three quarters. Antoine did not have his best day. I don't want to blame all three interceptions on him. He had one where he threw behind his intended receiver, which led to an interception. Then the Ravens were able to score their second touchdown of the game. One of them off the hands of Tidwell, might have been the other two, couldn't quite remember. But overall, I mean, it was just a bad day all around by the offense. Ryan Whitwell had a decent day on the ground. A little surprised we didn't see much more of Roosevelt Cage. I guess for lack of a better term, it was a bad day to have a bad day. The offense really just looked stagnant, and they really never got into a comfortable rhythm. Now, it was good to see every time this season they've run a quick, fast-paced offense, and we saw a lot of that late in this game because they had to. So getting that experience, I think, earlier in the season proved to be critical. Unfortunately, they just weren't able to do a lot with a lot of possessions. They turned the ball over 4 times. They have a couple turnover on downs. They went for it on 4th and short, which Andrew Rohde, it's kind of been his bread and butter, and I appreciate the consistency that if he's going to go for a 4th-and-1 like that in regular season, he's going to do the same in the playoffs, and I think the players really rallied behind that, and if they don't get it, they don't get it as a team. It's not just one or two individuals' fault. But this really was a disappointing day all around. The defense, they weren't put in a great position either. Sure, they give up that first touchdown, and then the Wildcat offense goes out there. It's an interception there. It's a short return, but they're already working with a short field, the Ravens' offense are. So the defense, being tired and getting waxed the way they did on the first drive, they got to go out there and try and make something happen again. So they got put in a really unfortunate spot, especially in that first quarter. It was just tough sledding all around. The defense really stiffened up, though, only allowing 3 points in the second quarter, then only 3 points in the entire second half, although those 3 points really proved to be critical because it made it a 2-possession game. It was 17-9, and the defense did really well up into that point. And one of the things that we've talked about all season long was this penalty problem. Now, the Wildcats actually won the penalty battle. They only committed, I believe, 4 penalties on the day, but those penalties proved to be very crucial on the Ravens' second-to-last offensive drive and then their last true offensive drive with the exception of the kneel down. There were 2 big penalties that gave the Ravens better field position. It gave them a first down, and it killed more clock. And we talked about it all season. They can't have those silly kinds of penalties. And I had this huge fear that in the playoffs that could come back to get them, and we saw it on Saturday. Now, there were other problems involved. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to blame the entire loss on those 2 penalties. It was just a huge part late in the game. But those first 3 quarters set the Wildcats up for failure, especially with the way the offense played. And I don't want to blame the offense either. Once again, you win as a team, you lose as a team, and it was just a really disappointing ball game all around. The Ravens led for almost the entire game. They had the lead from the second quarter, really early in the first quarter, and then they led for the entirety of the game. The Wildcats were playing from behind the whole way. They were under their largest deficit of the season at 17 points, which really should, it's props to how good this Wildcat team was. But you could kind of see it coming late in the regular season. They had a few games where the offense wasn't humming and clicking the way that they had early on. The defense was kind of giving up certain points, but it really just seemed like that's going to be something that's going to get fixed. And unfortunately, that Saturday was the day where it just didn't come through. And I don't want to be sound negative or, you know, disappoint. I mean, there is some disappointment, but I don't want to be negative on a team that was just dominant for the entire regular season. They played well last week against Southwestern, and it really was a great season that I think a lot of these young players can build on. They still have some of the core of that offense. They have Kyle Antoine coming back. They have Ryan Whitwell, Roosevelt Cage. This is all working under the assumption that the transfer portal won't play a big part in this, but they have a good young core there. Now, looking at the receiver group, there are a lot of different players that you have to look at and say, will they come back for a fifth year? They're losing Levi Tidwell. Moving over to the defense, there are a lot of guys there who it sounds like, you know, they may be done. Luke Bays, Clayton Mosier, Drake Deshetsky, Robbie Hunter, Neil Campbell. These are a lot of different players that you look at, and you got to hope and pray that they take a fifth year or do whatever they can to get back on the field. But this really was the Wildcats, I think, their best shot to win the national title in this program's short history. But Rhodey seems like he knows what he's doing with recruiting, and I think the Wildcats will be back. It may take a step down this next year, maybe even in the year after, but I think this Wildcat team is going to be here to stay for a long time. Very disappointing end, though. And there are a lot of questions that are going to need to be answered this offseason. I think some might ask the question about the quarterback situation. You look at these past few games, how Kyle Antoine played, and you say, is he ready or good enough to be the long-term starter? Some might ask that question. I wouldn't ask that question. I think Antoine has done more than enough to secure that starting job. And people got to remember, this is just his second season with the Wildcats. He wasn't the starter last year. And to be, you know, a second-year player, having to lead a bunch of seniors, a lot of vets who have been with this program for a while, that's a very daunting task. And the pressure might have built up, might have gotten worn down from the season. There's really no way of knowing. Only he knows the answer to those questions. But in my mind, he's done more than enough. He should be the starter next season. And I think this Wildcat team has a lot to be proud of. And there's a lot to build on, though. Despite the loss this past Saturday, despite the losses that they'll have in the offseason with players graduating, maybe even going to different teams, I think they will have a lot of success in the future. And this is just something that they got to build on. So once again, Wildcats, their season ends. They lose in the quarterfinals at home to the Ravens of Benedictine College by a final score of 20-9. Semifinals will be played this weekend. Benedictine will travel to play number 1 Kaiser in Florida, and number 6 Morningside, Andrew Rhodey's former team, will travel to Grandview. And of course, the winners will play in the national championship a week later in Durham, North Carolina. And as I sit here wrapping up for the season, it's been an incredible ride. I'm so thankful that A, I had the opportunity to broadcast those games, but B, more importantly, be here in the studio each and every week talking about something that I just enjoy doing. It never really felt like work, and it just really has been a tremendous season and a tremendous honor, and I appreciate you tuning in. But with that being said, my name's Gannon Parker, and that's all for this season in Wildcat football.